A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. It's the opening weekend of the Allianz National Football and the National Hurling Leagues. For many, it's the weekend which marks the start of the new 2020 season. And for supporters, well, there's a selection of quality fixtures to look forward to on what's a busy weekend. We'll look ahead to the games involving Donegal in both the football and the hurling. And the ladies football too, Donegal Erin Mayo for their first match this weekend. And there's loads more besides. Remember, Jason Quigley goes back into the boxing ring tonight for his latest test. We'll hear from Jason shortly. But we're going to start this evening with football. And as the countdown continues to the start of the new League of Ireland season, well, my guest this evening is a man who's looking ahead to what will be his seventh season in charge at Finn Harps. Ollie Horgan, you're now the longest serving manager in the League of Ireland. Does it get any easier?
Not really, Dermot, no. No point in pretending it does. It's probably gets more difficult, if anything, and probably that's the way it'll continue for whatever length of time that's left in it.
Yeah. 2 weeks out from the start of the new season then, Harps kick off their Premier Division programme with a home match against Sligo Rovers. Preparations, I would imagine, beginning to move up a gear, Ollie.
Yeah, although the two friendly games we played, we'd need to move up a gear with maybe the results, you know, maybe any performance against Galway and Sligo wasn't good enough on Tuesday, Dermot. But, you know, it's 3 weeks this Friday when we play Sligo and we're hoping that we haven't peaked too early, because certainly we haven't done that as of yet. But yeah. No, it'll be a long year. Please God, we can stay in the hunt or the fight, you know, at probably the latter end of the table. And, you know, I don't think it'll get any easier. And last year certainly wasn't easy, but ended up, you know, with probably a very successful year on the basis that we survived.
All right. Well, 2 weeks, I said. So it's 3 weeks. I'm getting a week ahead of myself. But you've already had these friendly games this week, Ollie, Galway United and Derry City. You're opening two pre-season friendlies. The results hardly matter, but how useful were those games for you?
Yeah, we've learned a lot of lads in on trial, Dermot. You know, we've lost 11 players. We need to replace them. Very, very difficult to replace them. Any of them, you know, of the lads that left. We have got in probably 6-7 lads, you know, of good quality. If we could have kept what we had and added that quality, yeah, then we might have been able to kick on a little bit. But with a hell of a lot of work to do, both myself and Paul Hegarty, between now and that Sligo game, to try and get in a panel. And that's really the purpose of the two games on Tuesday and on Wednesday last night in the Brandywell. Although, you know, the results were poor, yep. And of course, we tried to win both of those games, Dermot. But we got a lot of lads' game time under their belt, which is probably the main positive we took out of the league.
Yeah. I think the feeling among supporters, Ollie, is that the signings that you have made, all pretty good, all pretty impressive.
They are, yeah. Yeah, and this, you know, to be fair to them, they're good lads on top of it. It's just the difficulty of having lost, I won't say a full team, but we lost 11 lads. 11 lads that would have started through us, you know, through the 2019 season. All lads that would have played a hell of a lot of games, not just here and there, you know, and that's very difficult to replace. But, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We've got halfway there. But the next two, you know, next 3.5 weeks will probably tell a story of where we're going to finish in this league, Jordan.
And the latest addition then to your squad, Kosofer Siddiqui from Hibs, a strapping centre. Have he featured last night for you?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he featured last night. He featured a little bit against Galway and Sligo on Tuesday. Yeah, he's a young lad. He's a little bit to learn, but he's a good kid and needs game time. And to be fair to Hibs, you know, we came to an agreement that he would come out and play with us. And I think it'll be a big addition, without doubt. You know, he's a bit to learn, a bit to go, without doubt. He's not that experienced. We lost, you know, a lot of experience at the back with the likes of Keith, the likes of, you know, Harry, you know, even Jacob Borg, who would have played in the back three or back five or back four, whatever it might be. This lad is a kid. But he's a bit about him, and we're hoping he'll do well. But it'll take time, Jeremy.
A lot of changes, Ollie. Players going and new players coming in, but a striker remains a priority.
Yeah, we lost, obviously, Mikey Place, went to Galway, Rath retired, and Nathan Boyle immigrated to Australia. So your top three effectively are gone and have moved on for the varying reasons that I just gave there. We need to replace them. At the moment, Jamie Brown from the 19s is the only out-and-out striker that is signed. There's a few lads like Carter Sullivan that could do, they could play up there. It's not their main position. The likes of Ailey Lepp could play up there, but it's not their out and out position, to put it that way, too. So that area of the pitch, we've had lads in on trial, and we'll have more in on trial, and we need to try and come up with something to, you know, we didn't score last night. We got beaten 3-0. We got beaten 2-0 on Tuesday. We didn't score neither. So it goes without saying, we need to try and get something in the next 3.5 weeks to try and score goals, which probably was a difficulty last year, except with the standard of this league going up, with the fact that Shelburne are up, we need to come up with something the next couple of weeks. But we'll keep going,
yeah,
and we'll keep trying, and we'll keep travelling, both myself and Paul, to try and rectify that league.
And it is key to get somebody in, isn't it, Ollie? Because, I mean, all the teams in the Premier Division, they have recognised strikers, and you know, they're household names. What makes it so difficult to attract a forward like that?
Well, obviously financially, you know, and to be fair to you know, to the board with the new additions on the board, you know, Trevor Garden has launched his 500 club, which you know, we're hoping that will be a success, and he launched it two weeks ago, and you know, we're hoping that can kick us on and maybe give us a carrot or some way to try and attract a centre forward in. I mean, they don't come cheap. They come with a price tag, and you know, it's difficult. We're not the only ones in that situation. It's not for the lack of trying. We've watched a lot of centre forwards, both home and abroad, and we've taken a number of them in. And you know, we'll keep going. You know, it won't be for lack of trying, Dermot, but it's a difficult position in any club to solve, and in particular with us.
Right, UCD then on Friday night, the next pre-season friendly on what's been a busy week.
That game at, Ollie? Yeah, that game was originally scheduled for Belfield on Friday night because of the referee seminar that to be fair to UCD, they were only informed about it on Monday. That's been put back to Sunday at 3 o'clock in UCD.
Okay.
Of no fault of their own. It was a communication problem that there's always a referee seminar. But we weren't informed of what weekend it was. We presumed it was a weekend later. Mm. But it's this weekend, and there's no games can be played or refereed by on Friday, Saturday, and up to 3 o'clock on Sunday. So we're playing up in UCD at 3 o'clock on Sunday, Jeremy.
Okay, so there's always, nothing's ever straightforward.
No, but it's still a great game to get, and they'll be fighting for promotion, and it'll be a great test for us up there in particular.
Right. So what happens after that, Ian Ollie? What way does the run into the season work for you? More games and
yeah. You kind of play it by ear. You know, we weren't happy with the last two games that we played. We're happy enough with the game time under the belt with a lot of players. Some of them need more game time and are well off, you know, where they should be. And we'll probably take in a couple of more games between that. Now, we had a game in Longford on Saturday. I think it's the 1st of February, and we have a game in Athlone the following Saturday, both away from home.
Okay.
But we might take in one or two games along that way to get people game time, because we're well off it. And whatever chance we have, we need to be up and running when we play Sligo on the 14th of February.
Okay. Ollie, listen, it's great having you in studio. I'm sure we'll be talking to you between now and the game against Sligo Rovers. But for now, thanks very much for coming.
You're welcome, Dermot. Take care.
Thanks, Ollie.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Gear up for pre-season and get ready for the best year yet for your club. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. Niall Quinn has been appointed the interim deputy CEO of the FAI. Just earlier this month, the former Republic of Ireland striker and Sunderland chairman ruled himself out of the running to be the new CEO. He'll work alongside new interim CEO Gary Owens, who was name-checked in a vision for Irish football presented last year. The FAI say Quinn will focus on League of Ireland strategy as well as helping restore relationships with the media. Leaders Liverpool look to continue their unbeaten start to the Premier League season when they play at Wolves tonight. Jurgen Klopp's side can go 16 points clear of champions Manchester City with victory this evening, and they will still have a game in hand. Kickoff in that game is at 8 o'clock, and Manchester United will learn the identity of their FA Cup fourth round opponents tonight. Tranmere and Watford play their rearranged third round replay at Prenton Park, where kickoff is at 7:45. Jason Quigley is back in the ring tonight with the Donegal middleweight taking on Fernando Marin at the Hangar in Costa Mesa in California. A Quigley win would continue to build momentum and move his pro record to 18-1. The 10-round fight with Mexican Marin will be the headline bout tonight, hosted by Golden Boy Promotions, which will be streamed live. Marin was named as Quigley's opponent at the start of the week after Oscar Cortez pulled out. Jason hasn't been fazed by the change. He feels his amateur background helps with the situation.
Yeah, I feel good. It's obviously with the late replacement of opponent and everything like that, there it was good to size him up, get a look in his eyes, see what he's all about. And I enjoyed the stare off. I enjoyed the weigh-in. And enjoyed sizing him up.
You were preparing for the last couple of weeks for Oscar Cortez. How did the change of opponent affect you over the last couple of days?
I think I'm very lucky with the amateur background that I have, that over 250 amateur fights. Majority of those fights, I didn't know who I was fighting until I won my prelim, semi-final, quarter-final, final, whatever, you know. So I'm well used to getting in there with opponents and just figuring them out on the day, you know what I mean? But with the professional game, you get to read and watch a lot of videos on opponents and everything like that, which is a big advantage. And we got called yesterday and told that Cortez had pulled out and this is the new lad, and we looked him up, we had a look at him, and we're ready to go, you know what I mean? And as I said in previous interviews, it's not so much about the opponent, it's about myself, and when I get in there, sticking to what I do best, performing to the best that I possibly can, working on things that me and Andy have been working on in the gym, and just taking care of business.
That's Jason Quigley there in conversation with reporter Chris McNulty. We'll be looking ahead to the Alliance National Football League and the hurling later on in the programme. But on Gaelic Games, Michael Murphy's Letterkenny IT side were denied a place in a first ever Sigerson Cup final when they lost out on a night of high drama in Inishkeen in County Monaghan last night. IT Carlow won by 2-9. But both sides scoring goals there in the dying minutes of what was an enthralling encounter. And Carlow's goal in injury time at the death proved enough to finally kill off the LYIT challenge. After the game, Oisin Kelly spoke with Michael Murphy.
Michael Murphy, defeat in the semi-final of the Sigerson Cup, and I suppose the manner of defeat is gut-wrenching, so it is, conceding the goal very, very late on.
I suppose building the way back into it to come back to a draw game, whether it was maybe fair enough in the second half, I don't know, I'd be unsure of, but when you got it back to level then, it was like it was kind of taken away from you. It was cruel, it was tough, but I said to the boys, that's football and the character of this team, I suppose this year, but in particular over the last 2 years, that was it. Like, I just knew we weren't playing particularly well throughout the game. We hadn't hit our heights, but I just felt that we kept chugging at it. The boys and the character that they've shown and exhibited over the last couple of years would get them in it. And showed that way towards the end of the game. You know, we hadn't a brilliant performance, but the attitude and the character again was brilliant, and they brought it and we got back. And
was it maybe nerves that was what was settling the team that we haven't seen this year in the Sigerson, or was it what IT Carlow brought to the table tonight in the pitch?
I think you have to say it's a mixture of both. Like, it'd be unfair, very unfair to say it was just down to our nerves or lack of, you know, performances maybe throughout the team. You know, Carlow brought their good side, they're here for a reason. They made things difficult, made things scoring difficult for us. And they got scores at crucial stages themselves. They got a lot of frees in the second half, they got their goals at the right times. And they have good footballers and good players. Just a lot of us maybe just didn't get up to hit the performances, individual performances, collective performances that we did hit in other games. But again, I keep saying it, even with that, and I even thought that, and I kept saying to Francie the long way, says these boys are still going to keep hanging in there, and they did.
Yeah. Listen, you went down to 30 men at one stage in the pitch. Dara, for two yellows, was showing a red, which we felt was a bit harsh, and then we had the black cards as well. It's hard on a big pitch like this, which is the same size as Croke Park, to keep that momentum going with 30 men on the pitch, Michael.
Yeah, that's it. And we're already probably, if you look at the energy of the team and what we were bringing to the game with the ball, we were struggling enough as it was going without losing the two men. But credit where they were due, we were down to 13. We actually turned them over 2-3 occasions there. Goal chance at one time. We ended up getting the goal and we kept chugging on to get a point from a free. And the lads did well to turn the ball over. They threw caution to the wind and pressed up high and they got the ball. But that energy, I suppose, was lacking towards the first half, and the first half didn't give us the platform, even though we tried really, really hard going in at half time in the early part of the second half to keep pushing on. It just wasn't to be. And credit is due to Carlow, the better team in the night, and our boys will say to them they'll come back at it. They've had a, you look back, it's a fantastic year. It's important to get the balance between it being a fantastic year and being disappointing tonight, you know.
Because at the start of the year, nobody would have seen the LYIT has been semi-finalists in the Sigerson Cup, Michael, and it's been an unreal journey for you guys as management and this team and the college as a whole, first year in Sigerson, getting to the last four.
It has, and I suppose, again, I keep saying it, the journey started 3 years ago, you know, when the team, they went to Trench, we were unlucky in a Trench weekend, got to a final, the next year the boys came back and overcame a very good Dundalk team last year, very similar kind of circumstances to that, with last minute goals and good character. And I suppose the opportunity came up this year in the college was all for pushing, and fairness to the lads, they responded with a fantastic commitment to training and to everything, and that's what made it enjoyable. It was the players that made it enjoyable. It was the players that came out, they put the shoulder to the wheel. We took rocking hits, I suppose, in the start of the year in the league football and the Ryan Cup, but the character and desire, as well as the integration of a few of the lads that run the Donegal teams, really, really helped. And as I say, it was a credit to each and every one of the lads that Donegal said to them to get back to the clubs now, wherever that is in the country, and to get back to their to the county teams, and hopefully, I suppose, they've learned something from this year and they've got the chance to play at Sigerson College's football, which is the key thing for me, for them to experience that level of football out there and the last week and the week before.
And finally, it'll only stand them for next year, because you're still in Sigerson next year, and there's a large group of this panel that are first years and second years and will be playing for the LYT next year as well, Michael.
A big group of them, yeah. A big group that backboned a hell of a lot of the training with us, and really, really good lads. And I think being part of that this year will hopefully stand to them and kick on again next year, along with the lads that are already there. That's the hope. You know, they say they're going to go back to the club football now, and we'll keep coming back in October again. And as I say, it's a great. I'm just delighted that the college, the lads themselves, got an opportunity to play at that level. As I say, it's a level that's just maybe you would say on par, slightly below intercounty level, and for them to get the exposure of that and the big game that it was something that we wished for when we made the decision early in the year. You know.
Yeah. One other thing, just moving away from colleges, Mayo, I suppose, is the next focus now on Saturday in the league.
That's it. It just quickly shifts now. So yeah, busy time of year. Games come thick and fast. That's the nature of the beast of the GAA in January and February. There's probably more games squeezed into those 2 months than there is for the rest of the year, but that's it. You suck it up, you get on with it, and look forward to getting back with the boys now, training tomorrow night, and look forward now to getting back on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be important, or how important is it to start if you can get a one against Mayo, Michael?
It's important. Yeah. I was answering this question last week. People were saying it's important. Of course it's important. You know, next week it'll be important. After that, it'll be important, and you build it up important. The great thing for us is Division 1, the age profile of the team, and getting an opportunity to play in Division 1, I think, is crucial. To play in the big venues and to play in front of the big teams and to clearance in that week on week is crucial, especially when we need to hit the ground running against Tyrone in Championship, with that in the back of their head come May.
Yeah. Will you feature on Saturday?
Hopefully. I'll get picked.
I'm sure he'll get selected. Well, there will be four league debuts in the Mayo side that will line out against Donegal on Saturday in that opening Allianz National League Division 1 game in Ballybuffet. The four are Oisin Mullen, Jordan Flynn, Brian Walsh and Ryan O'Donoghue. Brendan Harrison, Colin Boyle, Stephen Cohen, Paddy Durkin and James Carr. Well, they're the only players who started in the Super 8 tie between the two sides in Castlebar last summer that feature in the 15 this weekend. Like Mayo, Donegal have injury concerns within their camp, and speaking to Tom Comack ahead of Saturday evening's game, Donegal manager Declan Bonner suggested the match will offer a chance for some players to perform on the big stage.
It's an opportunity, and the Wolby guys getting an opportunity, and as I say, that's important from our point of view in trying to keep the thing moving forward and introducing new players and freshening things up and keeping players on their toes, and that's vitally important. And as I say, training's gone extremely well. I know, you know, we've had our difficulties in terms of a lot of football being played, but I'm sure every other team has the exact same time, but we're looking forward. The lads are really looking forward to Saturday night, and they know it's going to be a really, really good test against a strong Mayo side.
You've tended in recent seasons maybe to leave the more experienced players like Neil McGee, the guys with a lot of football played, and even Michael Murphy to a lesser extent, maybe until later in the campaign. Does this now force your hand that you might have to bring them in a bit earlier?
Well, listen, we're probably going to look at everything, Tom, and as I say, we'll not be in a position probably until Thursday evening when we get and we analyse where the Sigerson guys come out of it, those six players, and then the the two training sessions. So we look at that there, and you know, we're not going to be forced into anything. We have a plan in place for the lads, and we'll just see exactly now, as I say, over the next couple of days where everyone's at. And because it's important that we have a bit experience on the pitch against Mayo. Mayo is going to come with an experienced team. They're going to come with a big support in the Balbuffet. And suppose the appeal I want to make to the Donegal supporters, and they've been brilliant, is to get in the Balbuffet in huge numbers again on Saturday night and really support the team. It's going to be a young team that's going to be out there on Saturday evening, and they're going to need that support. And it's important from our point of view that we continue to make McCool Park a real cauldron and a place where opposition teams don't want to come to.
Before we look at Saturday night's game, overall the league, obviously you're back up in Division 1, you have Mayo coming to Ballybuffy, you have Galway coming to Donald Park, you're away against Dublin, you have Tyrone coming to Ballybuffy, you know, you have to go to Kerry, you know, you're playing all the top teams, you have Monaghan.
Yeah, listen to me, the top 8 teams are in Division 1, that's exactly where you want to be. And it's brilliant to be there, and we need now to get a sustained period in Division 1. And as I say, there's no better place to introduce new players and players that you want to look at to see if they're going to survive come championship than playing Division 1 football. And I think as I say, that journey starts for us and on Saturday evening now. And but we'll take every game as it comes. We want to win every game, but I don't know if that's going to be possible or not, but we want to win as many games as we can. We want to be playing Division 1 football in 2021. And you know, the first 2 points are at stake on Saturday.
So, no thoughts of Mayo, of Tyrone and May the 17th just yet?
Well, you know, that'll always be there. It's always, you know, when the draw was made, May the 17th is always going to be etched in every player and every management around the management team. And we know that's the target down the line. But short term, it's the 25th. It's next Saturday evening. And it's those 2 points that are at stake against, you know, a Mayo team that's going to bring plenty to Balbuffet.
And talk to me about Mayo. Obviously, you know, you went to Castlebar last year in the championship, you made your exit. They came to Ballybuffet, was it 2 years ago, and they drew and put you down to Division 2. They've got an Indian sign on Donegal at the moment.
Well, listen, those things happen, and at times, and you know, sometimes they get a sustained period, and that can change fairly quickly. And from our point of view, is to say, will the match in Castlebar have any bearing on Saturday night? I don't think so. I think there'll be changes, a fair few changes in personnel on both sides. I think the same physicality will be there. It'll be a real high intensity battle. And it's one that we need to be at the top of our game with the players that we're going to introduce on Saturday evening. And for us to get 2 points, it's going to take a big, big performance.
They tend to be feisty occasions. Certainly, Mayo were very physical in Castlebar.
Yeah, exactly. We're expecting no different on Saturday night. We know we've got to be ready for that physical challenge. And, you know, you can prepare as well as you can on the training ground and everything else, but until the match throws in on Saturday evening, that's when you'll see where we're at. But I think the lads are in a good spot. I think they're in a really good place. They've trained really, really well, and as I said, you know, they're really looking forward, and this is where you want to be. It's early. I know it's early in the year. It's still January, but we have a big 8-9 weeks ahead of us now. 7 really big games involved, and you know, the scramble for points starts in earnest on Saturday evening, and it's a big, big challenge, but it's one, as I say, that we're hoping we can get 2 points out of.
Declan Bonner there in conversation with Tom Comack. Big crowd expected at McCool Park and Ballybuffet on Saturday evening for what's one of two games in Division 1 taking place on Saturday. Donegal against Mayo. Oisin Kelly will be bringing us live commentary on that one if you can't get along to McCool Park. And the other one is a big one as well, Dublin meeting Kerry. We're going to grab another quick commercial break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get active in 2020 and check out the great selection of running shoes at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. Dermot Doherty here in studio through until 8 o'clock. We heard from Declan Bonner before the break there. Those two games in Division 1 on Saturday evening, part of a busy programme of fixtures. The games in the National Football League nicely spread out over Saturday and Sunday. Donegal against Mayo, by the way, throws in a 7:15 on Saturday evening. In Division 2, there's one game. It's Armagh against Cavan. In Division 3, Derry host Leitrim in their opening game of the season there. That one throws in at 5 o'clock. Then at 6 o'clock, Cork play Offaly. And in Division 4, there's a couple of games there too. Waterford against Limerick and Carlow against Wicklow. Looking at the other games in the National Football League this weekend, Tyrone and Meath, they open their Division 1 campaigns on Sunday at Healy Park in Omagh. That game throws in at 2 o'clock and it's Galway against Monaghan at 2:30. Also on Sunday in Division 2, there's three games here. Westmeath play Clare, Roscommon host Laois and Kildare play Fermanagh. In Division 3, it's Longford against Louth and Tipperary against Down. And then in Division 4, two more games on Sunday. Antrim host Wexford and London are at home to Sligo. The Hurlers of Donegal suffered the disappointment of relegation back to Division 3A last season, but ahead of the start of the new league campaign, they have reason to be optimistic. They're already being tipped for promotion from this division, and along with the fact that Mickey McCann has remained on as manager, several key players are also returning to the fold. They host Armagh at O'Donnell Park, Letterkenny on Sunday, and ahead of that game, Tom Comack caught up with Mickey McCann.
Another season in charge for Mickey McCann. You couldn't walk away, could you?
No, I suppose, Tom, after last year, at the end of the season, we thought maybe we performed really fairly well all year, you know, and just results didn't go for us. So, look, there was talk I was going to step away from it, but I suppose I got chatting with a few players and stuff, and they're all hungry to make amends this year, you know, and try to get us back up where we were, you know, and make up the ground that we made the year before. So we're giving it a good rattle, Tom, and a good pre-season under so far.
You were relegated at the end of last year, ever so close, but it's an unforgiving league, Division 2B.
Yeah, I suppose Division 2B was tough, Tom, and we put ourselves in some great positions in the league, you know, and fell away maybe in the last 15 minutes, a wee bit inexperienced, maybe. The higher division teams have a wee bit more strength and depth and a bit more experience, which told near the end, and we just couldn't see the games out. And
you picked up injuries as well. Obviously, Declan Coulter was one that comes to mind.
Yeah, we had a lot of injuries, you know, and it seemed to be all our main players, Tom, through the year at different stages, and Lee Henderson and Declan out most of the season too, you know. So, listen, they're a massive loss. I feel if we'd kept Declan on board, we probably would have survived, you know, but... The only real poor result was Warwickshire in the playoff. You know, we were very poor that day, Tom, and I feel we're a better team than Warwickshire, you know. So that was the biggest disappointment about it, after beating them well the week before and then going down performing really bad in the playoffs. So that was the only time last year that we were really disappointed, you know.
Back down in Division 3A again, starting all over again. Tyrone, Armagh, Louth, Longford, Monaghan, your opponents. There'll be nothing easy there.
Nothing easy, Tom, and just telling the boys, you know, that probably up in the higher division, that you get playing a wee bit more hurling, you know what I mean? They play more hurling at that level, but down here, it's really dog-eat-dog stuff and really, really hard work and intense games where they try to spoil you more than out-hurl, you know? So it's different standard, but even like Armagh up first, Tom, and they've played in 2A and 2B over the last decade, you know, and they're well used to playing at a high level, so it's a tough start for us. Probably the toughest team in the division up first. Only we have them home in Letterkenny, and hopefully we can use their home advantage.
What, three away and two at home?
Yes, three away. I suppose we're home to Armagh and we're home to Monaghan. I think we're away to Louth and Tyrone. You know, and away to Longford. So we're on the road a bit, and two long runs to Longford and Louth. You know, but even up to Healy Park, the second week out, Tom, is going to be a tough task against Tyrone, who really going well in pre-season here, so in the McGurk Cup and stuff. So it's going to be a tough division, Tom, to get back out of it. We've been on it a long time. We know how hard it is to get out, but look, we have a lot of hard work done, and hopefully it'll stand us on Sunday.
And you probably, given the fact that you've been up in the higher division, you would probably have a target on your back as well.
Of course, Armagh beat us for long enough, Tom, maybe through the years, my playing days, Armagh are always that wee step ahead of us. But we've seen they turn them over the last couple of times, but they'll be looking to make amends in that and put things right. They'll think they're a better side than Donegal. So, and we're the scalp they take now after coming down from Christy Ring and down from Division 2B. So they'll all have their targets at Donegal to team to beat, and we'll have to live up to it, you know.
And tell me, team squad-wise, any changes?
Well, we have a few additions back again. Jared Gilmore and Bernard Lafferty back in this year, who we were starting the year before in that nicking record final, you know, forwards. And I suppose we have Deck and Coulter flat again. We had a bad year last year with injuries. And a lot of young boys earned a lot of experience last year, Tom. So look, a lot of youth and experience and young boys pushed for places. So I feel we're in as good as places any, you know.
You see, you have a good pre-season. How long have you been back?
We're back out second week in November, Tom, you know, and we have a new strength conditioning boy and a fella called Ryan McLaughlin. And look, he's fairly put them through the paces and they're well leaned up. And look, they're looking forward to Sunday. They feel like they're fuzzily in good shape. So I think if we can go out and match Armagh on the physical side and work just as hard as them, you know, we have just as much quality that the home advantage hopefully would get us over the line.
And tell me, any injury worries, any concerns, or have you got everybody for the weekend?
No, I suppose Lee Henderson's struggling again, Tom, with a bit of an Achilles problem, and I don't know if he's going to be fully doing anything on Sunday or not. We'll not fully call it tomorrow night. And young Conor Grady, who was going very well in training, Tom hurt his hamstring there last Saturday, so he's probably out. And the only fella missing from last year is Kieran Masterson, who's a big loss for us. He's in Australia now, so for a year. So he's a big loss from the panel altogether, you know.
Yeah, because he took on a leadership role at times, I noticed last year, and was a central figure and even took over free-taking duties at times.
Yeah, I suppose he's got it all in his armour, Kieran, on his day, you know, free-taking, a great strike of the ball, and lucky. And the thing about him, very versatile, we could have played him anywhere. And he's a massive loss to us now. I don't know if he's going to stick the year out, Tom, but I'm hoping maybe we could get him back for the Nicky record, because he's a big addition to us if we can get him on again, you know.
But the first target is a win on Sunday, I presume.
First target's a win on Sunday, and it's a tough start, and I suppose our man's saying the same, that they're away to Donegal first. It's a tough start for them, but two teams know one another very well, Tom, and I suppose Gabriel Keynes and we us now for the third season, and he done three seasons with Armagh before that, so they know that he would know them very well inside out, you know, and they'll have a good take on us as well. So there'll be a lot of cat and mouse, Tom, and I can see them putting a lot of spoilers in our better players, you know, so and we'll be doing the same to them. So hopefully, look, we can just grind it out and the weather's good, which I think it should also be a wee bit more. So hopefully, Tom, fingers crossed, we can get off the ground running.
Mickey McCann there, well, mentioning the fact that the hurlers have been back training since early November. That's the kind of preparation and commitment that's needed when you're getting ready for a new hurling season. Donegal opening their campaign against Armagh on Sunday, and wouldn't it be great if they got off to a winning start? That's going to be a key game, because two strong sides in Division 3A meeting on opening weekend. The other match on Sunday in that division is Louth against Tyrone, and Derry, they play Down at home in Division 2B. Also on Sunday, there are games as well in Alliance Hurling League Division 1. Among the big matches, Waterford hosting Cork in Group A, and Kilkenny at home to Dublin in Group B. There are games, just like the football, spread over the weekend in terms of the hurling too. On Saturday, a selection of matches in all divisions. Perhaps the standout match in Division 1 in Group A, Tipperary at home to Limerick. That one throws in at 5:15. Well, Donegal Ladies are in Swinford on Sunday for their National League Division 1 opener against Mayo. A difficult opening assignment for Donegal, who, while doing well in the league last year and winning an Ulster title, were disappointed with the campaign overall, as Donegal boss Maxie Kern has been telling Colleen Duffy.
Maxie Kern, just thinking there, the last time I talked to you was on the steps in O'Connor Park, Tullamore, after that championship loss last summer. How have things been since?
Yeah, look, it was, I suppose, a bit of soul searching after that day. You know, you're right, it was. There was an awful lot of positives, and, you know, if you, considering where we were at the start of the year, if you were told you'd be comfortable in the league and you'd win your Ulster Championship, you'd be, you know, a lot of people would have seen that as a success, but it was hugely disappointing for us on the day. You know, we would set our stall quite high, and the expectations we put on ourselves are quite high, and look, we didn't get to the level that day against Mayo. No, a number of reasons on the day resulted in us getting beat, you know, and we look at nobody other than ourselves for that. But look, we still feel that we have the players in Donegal. We are probably down a couple again, and I think that's probably the biggest disappointment and the hardest thing to stomach for us is, you know, I don't think we've had the opportunity to have a go at it with everybody on board, and I think that's the difficulty. for teams that are peripherally located like ourselves, the geography is quite difficult, and you know, it's a big ask and a big commitment for people to come to Donegal, you know, two or three times a week to train, and you know, people tend to go and do other things, and like, I feel if Donegal can get all their players together, they're as good as anybody, and look, that's the hope. We feel that you know, we could get a bit more of a rub of the green maybe next year when, you know, when the big games come. I don't think we're that far away.
We've talked about those challenges before, and I suppose the thing is, you just can't avoid them. They're there, but I suppose maybe in a positive sense, may also to have those same challenges, and it's them you face this weekend. Now, it's away from home, but it's two teams coming into this with very much all of that kind of background behind them, so it should be even enough.
It is, and look, I think there's an awful lot of similarities between yourself and Mayo. You know, being that as peripherally located, you know, I think we have more players in even in Australia playing AFL than the other teams, and you know, we have a similar amount of girls working in Dublin and making that commute. They're similarly in transition as well. They've had a turbulent couple of years, and you know, they've had a lot of new players come into the fold, and they're trying to build like ourselves, and I think it's a, you know, it's a very interesting one to start off, and it's a very, very tough one for us to start off. You know, where the league fixtures are kind of falling quite difficultly for us this year. We have the three big teams, Dublin, Cork, and Galway, all at home, and then our four away games. Then you know, with Mayo and Westmeath, Waterford, and Tipperary. So it's going to be a difficult league for us. But look, we're looking forward to it. We're excited, and we're ready to go again.
It's an interesting league, I suppose, an interesting start to it this year, because we have the biggest number ever of ladies Gaelic footballers gone to play Aussie rules in Australia. Mayo have four of those players. They've another player gone to play international basketball. Two of those Mayo players are missing are the Kelly sisters. So that should work in your favour at least.
Well, it is, you know, but similarly, look, we're without the likes of Yvonne Bonner and Katie Hearn. You know, are big players for us. But look, it's not about whoever who's not there at the minute. It's about who's there, and look, it's about the opportunity that's there for the girls that get the chance. You know, we had a couple of girls that came in and had brilliant championships for us last year. The likes of Niamh Carr, who wouldn't have played much football the year before and had a brilliant campaign, was very close to, you know, our player of the year, and she only got the opportunity because, you know, she got in and she took it when other players, you know, were gone. So that's what you're looking for. You know, is for other girls to step up and take the opportunity, you know, when they get a jersey, and I think Mayo had a very similar situation. The likes of Danielle Caldwell, who I thought was the best fullback in Ireland last year, she had a brilliant season, and it was on the back of getting the opportunity to play league matches, and that's how you got to look at it. It's the opportunity to blood people and give them competitive games, and for us, there's no better place than to go and play the likes of Mayo to give the players that chance.
Yeah, and as an extension of that, how much is it going to be a motivational factor that she lost to them in the championship, and here you are, the next game for yourselves that you're playing again?
Yeah, look, that's right, but look, the teams are probably very different, as you mentioned. You know, there's probably five of the 30 girls that played that day now in Australia, and you know, it's look, it is what it is. You know, yeah, there's a strong rivalry there between all the teams, you know, in that Division 1 and around the top, because you play everybody regularly and you play the same teams, you know, quite consistently. So like I say, it's a healthy rivalry. Look, I'll be very, very close to the Mayo manager Peter, and look, we chat on a regular basis, and you know, we try and keep abreast of what everybody's doing, and it's healthy, but it's a league, it's an opportunity to develop players, and that's how we look at it. And you know, we know going to play Mayo, they'll be very well set up, very well organised, and it's going to be a good challenge for us.
What's your hopes for the league overall, because there's no semi-finals this year, which probably for teams like yourselves would have been ideal to have, trying to push it to that next level, straight final between the top two?
Well, to be honest, I think it's, you know, for us, we're in a strange situation compared to the other teams, in that Ulster is such a monster of a competition this year compared to the other provinces. So other teams that maybe don't have the same level of provincial championship might have been glad for it. But look, you know, our Ulster championship starts on the 16th of May, so we'll be very glad to get out of the league whenever that comes. And you know, if we make a final, great. You know, if we topped the table a couple of years back, and it's not beyond us to do the same again. But look, the thing about Division 1, it's most important thing is staying in it and, you know, remaining competitive, and for the next generation of Donegal footballers that come along, that they're able to cut their teeth in Division 1 and test themselves against the best. So look, our hope is to find a couple of players and get as far as April, you know, 6 weeks running the Ulster Championship last day. So, you know, we'll not be crying any rivers if we're not in a league final, let me tell you, whereas other teams probably needed a wee bit more than we do.
Yeah, another big year ahead for the ladies of Donegal. Maxi Kern there, speaking to Colleen Duffy. Donegal away to Mayo in their opening game on Sunday, throw-in in Swinford is at 2:30. Also in Division 1, Donegal, Dublin host Tipperary, and Galway are at home to Waterford. Tyrone, they open their Division 2 campaign with a trip to Meath, and Derry host Leitrim on Sunday. That's at 2:00. That's in the National Football League Division 4. We're going to go for another quick commercial break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get active in 2020 and check out the great selection of running shoes at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Into the closing 10 minutes of tonight's programme, we're going back to men's Gaelic football, and with a new manager in place, there'll be plenty of attention on the Derry footballers this season. They're one of the fancied sides in Division 3 of the Alliance National Football League. They open on Saturday at home to Leitrim, but as sports journalist Michael McMullen has suggested, Division 3 has some quality teams battling for the two promotion spots.
Any team we've spoke before, we've been talking about relegations. Last year was bounce back, and now this team, promotion to Division 2 would be very much in the thoughts of the day. You know, the Derry GA public, and no doubt it'll be at the forefront of Rory Gallagher's thoughts as well, I'd imagine. Yeah. And out against Leitrim this week.
Yeah, and tell me, just before we look at that game against Leitrim, what, 4 games at home, 3 away, and probably the 3 standout fixtures, or 2 of the standout fixtures are against Down and against Cork, I suppose, 2 teams that will be competing for the top 2 spots. Both of those are away.
Yeah, they are, and the second game, Tom, is actually away to Down, so it's a big one to come, you know, early in the campaign. Cork will maybe take care of itself later on, depending on results, but those are definitely crunch games. But I spoke to Rory during the week, and he was very much of the opinion that Derry can't really take anybody for granted after what has happened in the past few years, and they're just going to take every single game as it comes. But those ones you talk about definitely will have a big say on who goes up.
Yeah. Tell me, anyway, Leitrim this weekend, what do you make of Rory has named a team?
He hasn't named a team yet, but he's got a fair good hand to pick from at the moment. You know, all the St Neil players are back and have had a couple of weeks training after the hurling has finished. And Liam McGoldrick will be back from the Coleraine squad. Gareth McInnes is back in the panel this year, which is a huge addition, you know, to the defensive options. You know, traditionally, this past few years, Derry's problem has been that they've leaked goals, they've leaked scores. Probably the main thing, Tom, there is there's such a big turnover in players, and now there's a wee bit more stability. Like, potentially, Derry's defence this weekend could have Carl McCaig, Brenton Rogers, Chrissy McCaig, Niall Keenan, Gareth McInnes. You know, that's a decent spine to build anything around, and I think that's one of the biggest advantages, you know, that Derry are going to have.
Yeah, that's probably as close to maybe the first six as you're going to get.
Yeah, Paul McNeil's injured. He's not on the squad. Who would have played in recent times? But, you know, as you said, that definitely, you couldn't ask for any more. From the goalkeeper position, there's probably a big enough call to be made there, Tom. Thomas Mallon has been the regular and actually played very well last year in the league against Leitrim in Croke Park. I remember sitting up in the stand and his kickouts were exceptional. He has brought in Oran Lynch from Maharfelt to the panel this year. He played very well against Donegal that night. His kickouts were pretty good. So Rory's got a call to make there, as to, you know, who gets a number one jersey. There's a lot of feeling that Lynch has got a big future in the number one jersey, but, you know, he is very young. So that's one of the calls I'll be looking forward to seeing what way it goes.
Talk to me overall, in terms of the squad. Has Rory got everybody really that you would expect him to have?
Pretty much so. Maharfelt's Daniel Heavern, I would love to have saw him in the mix. Always pretty influential any time he plays. Colin McGoldrick from Coleraine initially was in the thoughts, but I think whenever their hurling campaign finished, I think he just opted out. A great ball winner, very intelligent, would have given him another option at full forward. But by and large, Derry's squad's in a very good shape at the minute, and I make it, you know, just by sort of doing my homework. He's got a panel of 46, 47 players there. And in this league, I'm looking at the fixtures in front of me, you know, in this league, Tom, it's seven games in a short space of time, and the squad could be a thing that could take you through. And if there's any injuries at all, you need plenty of backup. And I think Derry have got that. And, you know, obviously up front, Ryan Bell showed up very well during the two McKenna Cup games. You know, I can see him and Shane McGuigan as sort of the, you know, the two talisman up front in terms of scores. And, you know, when you're chatting about the McKenna Cup there, probably some of the pluses, Paddy McGrogan from Newbridge, former Derry Minor captain, had two exceptional good outings for, you know, such a young player. Did very well on Kieran Hughes down in Inneskeen. Conor McCluskey from Maharafelt, a very highly rated defender, one of Maharafelt's best players in last year's championship, you know, acquitted himself very well. Shea Downey was excellent in the first game against Monaghan, you know, and could maybe be a potential sweeper for Derry in Rory's system. But I don't think he's going to be fit for this weekend. But that's the sort of options that Derry have, and I think they're in a good situation. You know, they've plenty to pick from.
You mentioned Rory's system. Obviously, Rory, very defensive-minded. Have you noticed a change?
My sort of take on at the time when he took over was that a lot of people just, you know, labelled Rory as a defensive manager, you know. But at the end of the day, he took over Derry. It's a different set of players. When I went to see them playing against Monaghan, it was very much get the ball in as early as you possibly could. Ryan Bell was at full forward. They used him, you know, and I could hear, you could actually see the management urging them to kick the ball in early. Maybe with the advanced mark, you know, another can of worms, Tom.
Yeah.
But when I went to the Donegal game, you know, Donegal played with so many men behind the ball. Derry replicated it, and it was horrible to watch.
Yeah.
But I think Derry's game plan will probably be something between the two. I can see a Shane McGuigan, Ryan Bell inside line with a sort of a defined two half forwards, maybe Kieran McFaul, Danny Town, you know, Sammy Bradley coming into that bracket. So I think he'll base it around a two in and a two half forward sort of line up from what I've saw so far.
Yeah. Playing Leitrim, as we said, this weekend in Celtic Park, a must-win game, and we saw Leitrim are coming into it on the back of a pretty heavy defeat by Roscommon in the FBD League.
It is a must-win game. You know, if the unthinkable happened on Sunday and Derry lost 2 points, you know, you're automatically on the defensive right away from first, you know, from the first game. So it probably brings a bit of pressure, because when I think back to this time last year, Derry went to Corrigan Park to play Antrim, and they just about got out with 2 points, you know, and that was the first game of the season. But I think Derry are in a better situation this time around. You know, they've had their panel together longer. They had a couple of decent performances against Monaghan in a challenge match and in the league, and then they had a run out against Donegal. I think they're in a good position, but I expect Derry to come through. There's loads of challenges coming down the tracks, a lot of tougher days ahead. But if Derry can get the right mentality Saturday, you know, there's no reason why they'll not win it.
Welcome back. We're almost done for this evening. Before the break, that was Michael McMullen, sports journalist, previewing Derry's new National League season. Derry opening on Saturday in Division 3 at home to Leitrim. That one throws in at 5 o'clock. Just some rugby news before we finish up this evening. Scotland have expelled Finn Russell from their training camp for their opening game in the Six Nations. The fly half has been disciplined for a breach of team protocol this week in Edinburgh. Russell, Scotland start their tournament against Ireland at the Aviva a week on Saturday.